Hello again, and welcome to what is now, I guess, episode 9. Wow, we're almost in double digits of the Luke Miller podcast. And I'm glad that you're able to join us wherever you're listening from, however you're listening to this, wherever you're listening to this. We've been having a good time. I've been having a good time going through prayer, taking a look at what that looks like in our lives, and really how we approach prayer. We see all different ways in which prayer is approached in the Bible. One of the things we talked about was, especially in the Psalms, how we see people from all walks of life going to God, and it's very much like conversations with God, where people are who are kings, people who are priests, people who are peasants are going to God with all sorts of requests, all sorts of laments, and all sorts of thanksgivings. And we can see how they talk with God. And while they pour out their heart, and we especially looked at this the last 2 weeks, while people are pouring out their heart to God, there seems to be some sort of formula that they follow, whether it's lamenting, and with the laments we saw that when they go to God with requests and laments, how one of the key components of it is saying, you know, God, as you answer these prayers and however you answer these prayers, I will praise your name. I will answer them in the courts, and I will share what you've done with all sorts of people who I come into contact with. Last week, we saw that Thanksgiving is one of those, the Thanksgiving Psalms are very much the responses to the Lament Psalms in many ways. We see how what was once a lament is now a prayer of thanksgiving, where God has done some great things. Today, I wanted to take a look at what it means for us to pray boldly. And I think it's very good because it talks about timing. It talks about how we pray. It talks about when we pray and what that looks like. And what I think about when I think about praying boldly, and what verse comes to mind is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 20. And so we're going to spend some time in that today. If you want to get your Bibles or you've got your Bible apps, you can turn to that, or you can just listen. I'll read it at some point, and we'll talk a bit about it. I think that prayer in our churches is sometimes something that is often neglected outside of corporate prayer, even in that larger setting on a Sunday morning. And it can be that routine that we get in. And so I think Paul does a great job in Ephesians of really saying, what should this look like, not only in church, but what it should look like in our homes as we pray, and how we approach that. And it's very much about being a prayer warrior in every aspect of life. I know I've shared probably in a sermon before that one of the most pivotal moments in my spiritual formation, as I was probably about, well, I was 20 years old. I had been away for a year. I'd been traveling for a year. And when I came back to my home church in Victoria, there was a group of women in their 80s and 90s who came up to me and said, Luke, it's so great to see you again. And again, this is a very large church. It's I didn't even know all of those women. But they said, Luke, it's great to see you. We're so glad you're back. We wanted to let you know that we've been praying for you every week. And that blew me away, that these unknown women had been praying specifically for me, that I would be safe and for all sorts of things. And I see that as just prayer warriors come in all shapes and sizes, but they're just that. They're prayer warriors. And let's take a look at this today. Let me first read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 20, and take a look at what it means for us to very much be a prayer warrior. And so, in fact, yeah, we'll take a look at this, and we'll actually begin with verse 18 here, which says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. This is almost like a primer that's being pumped here. It comes right after a reminder that we're in the middle of spiritual warfare. In fact, if you go a little bit earlier, in verse 12 it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." I mean, there's this acknowledgement that we're in a sense this cosmic battle, and Paul is challenging believers to put on the full armor of God in verses 13 to 17, and then in verses 18 to 20, after saying be prepared and get ready, the first thing he arrives at is prayer. He describes prayer as this ultimate secret weapon of spiritual warfare. And in many ways, we won't be able to use that armor if we're not empowered by prayer. And so I want to take a look at what that looks like and what Paul's kind of paradigm for prayer is. So again, verse 12, Paul looks at or says like spiritual warfare is happening out there. And then verses 13 to 17, he's talking about the armor of God. And now he arrives at prayer immediately after that. And here's what I love in this. The first thing we see right from the very beginning is spirit-directed. And the first thing we must remember is that prayer is not something that is supposed to be just repetitious and monotonous. Jesus, in fact, cautioned against us just going through the motions. I think in Matthew 6, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they will be think they will be heard because of their many words." So Paul challenges us not to be babbling, but to have focused, spirit-led prayer. He challenges us to pray in the Spirit, in fact. And to pray in the Spirit means at least two things. First, we must pray with our heart and our soul, with everything we've got. Secondly, we must rely on the power of this Holy Spirit to help us pray. And I think that's something that often we sometimes neglect. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with those groans that words cannot express." There's times where I've prayed in my life, "God, just have mercy on me. God, do your work here. I don't even know what to say." Because I couldn't think of anything else. I couldn't pray of anything else. And I think we need to understand this in full force that when we allow the Spirit to direct our prayers, we can also avoid selfish requests and empty words. Now, I heard this a long time ago, and I really appreciated it. Because there's been times in my life where someone's come to me with a situation that they are going through, and they say they need prayer, and I know they need prayer, but the situation is so dire. I almost feel like I don't know where to start. And someone had told me something that they do, and I love this, is I just honestly picture myself bringing that person to the feet of Jesus and saying, "God, like, we put this in your hands. We bring this person to you. You know the hurt. You know the suffering that's going on. And God, we just ask that you intercede in this." And I think allowing the Holy Spirit to work and say those words that we may not even be able to come up with is something that is so important. Yeah. I always think of it as this, you know, once in a while I'll be praying and I will forget the name. Someone will have asked me for a prayer and my mind will go blank. I can't remember what the name, you know, they gave me this request a couple days ago and I've completely forgotten it. And And yet there's this realization that when I'm praying, I can be like, God, that person who asked me to pray 3 days ago needs help with this. We serve an all-knowing God, an all-loving God. I know exactly that when I start praying for that person, whether I remember the name or not, God knows exactly who I'm talking about. I always chuckle with, you know, about that as I think about it. I'm like, I know I'm beating myself up because I may not remember the name, yet I know God knows who I'm talking about. He's not fumbling through a list of names. He's like, oh, I wonder who this might be. God knows who this is. And so when God knows the pain that we go through, God knows the pain and suffering that some people are going through when they go to prayer. And so we bring them to God in prayer. God knows exactly what they need. And so being Spirit-led allows us to I think, really have that focused and boldness in prayer. The other thing that we see here is, like, we're supposed to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. It says, the time to pray is all the time. Prayer is appropriate in all seasons of life, at all times during the day. We are to pray when things are good. We're to pray when things are bad, in times of tragedy, in times of triumph, when we finish things well, when we fail miserably, when God feels close, when for us he feels distant. Keep this in mind. The early church understood this, especially when we read through the book of Acts, that they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. It says right in the first chapter of Acts, as it's introducing this first century church. Again, we're starting to see that when Paul starts a message or is finishing off something important, somehow prayer is tied to it, right? I mean, in the book of Acts, with Luke writing it, it's immediately starting with this acknowledgement of continually devoting themselves to prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, as Paul is finishing it, there's this challenge to pray without ceasing. I mean, have you ever wondered how you can pray like this? How you can pray without ceasing? And the only way I know is by allowing Christ to be the center of our lives, so that in every situation, in every circumstance, you will find yourself naturally talking to him. Think about it this way. I'm sure all of us have that person that we call on our phone when something goes wrong. You know, someone that we just need to talk to. I've got friends that when I need to vent or when I'm going through things, it's almost speed dial. And I know they feel the same way with me. I'll get the phone call and it's like, hey, I just need you to listen for half an hour and I'm just gonna rant about what's going on. And I mean, now we're dealing mostly with cell phones, but the way I think of it often is with praying without ceasing and having Christ at the center of our lives in every situation, in every circumstance, that we find ourselves naturally talking to him first. I think of the phone, right? And our those old phones, landlines, I think we would call them. Anyone under a certain age might have to Google what that is. But likewise, what an answering machine is, a physical answering machine, but that's another talk for another day. But I picture, you know, one of those old landlines, and before you even pick up the phone, there's just a sticker on that phone that says, have you talked to God first? You know, before I even call my closest friend who I need to talk to, who I need to rant, am I willing to saturate my own life in prayer by going to God first? Am I able to get in the rhythm of just naturally talking to him at any given point in the day, at any given situation that I'm going through? Like I said, this is something that we go to God when things are good, when they're bad, when there's tragedy, when there's triumph, when things are going well, when we like fail miserably at something, when God feels close, even when he feels far away from us. And this is something Paul understands. This is something that the early church certainly understood. So we see that it's spirit directed and spirit led. We see that every part of life, like it's a life saturated, you know, in prayer. And it's all encompassing. You know, if we're to pray boldly, we need to go into prayer with confidence, knowing that God is there for us, knowing that we can go to him in all occasions. And it's all encompassing, all kinds of prayers, all kinds of requests. And the Greek in this passage emphasizes the fact that it's all types of prayer. There's not just one way, you know, to pray in this. And often we think of it in reverence. And yes, there's this reverence in talking with God. But when you look at the Psalms specifically, again, people are pouring out their hearts to God in anger, in thanksgiving, in praise, in tragedy. A good example of this is in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, in fact. And we see how there is this cycle, if you will, where Daniel goes through, kind of in this chapter alone, several stages of prayer, from adoration to confession to thanksgiving to supplication. Like it's all encompassed there. I mean, there's adoration, and God loves to hear our requests. We know that. But we also know from Psalms that our prayer should also begin with praise. Daniel starts verse 4 in chapter 9 with, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. Instead of immediately rushing into his requests, he slows down and just takes a moment to remember who God is. He does that before he goes into a time of confession. Verse 5 comes to that confession point where it's, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and we have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and your laws. In fact, it's a direct mirror of verse 4 where Daniel is thanking God for who he is. But then he's also realizing in this confession that they're broken, right? God, who's great and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love for all who love and obey him. And verse 5 is, we've sinned, we've done wrong, we've been wicked, we've been rebelled, we've turned away from your commands and your laws, right? Like it's a direct mirror of who is God, acknowledging who God is, and then who we are. But there's this thanksgiving. He continues on, and in verse 15 of chapter 9 in Daniel, he says, now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day. What is it that you can thank God for today? He thanks God all the way back to Egypt. What are you able to thank God for even just today? Right? And then it goes on to a supplication. Now, God, hear our prayers and our petitions of your servant. For your sake, O God, have favor on us in this horrible time. Right? It very much echoes what we talked about with laments, but it's the thing I love about this passage in Daniel 9 is that it is all-encompassing. It reflects this praying without ceasing in any situation. A life-saturated prayer on all occasions, and spirit-directed. There is no doubt that Daniel could go through this laundry list of things and horrible things that are happening in exile, yet he understands that God knows this, and he just confesses and gives thanks for who God is. I think the thing that I want to leave us with today, because I want us to be able to pray boldly, and I mean, I want us to focus on these three things: spirit-led, spirit-directed. Even when we don't know what to pray about, understand that God is with us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And part of relying on God is understanding that God knows even when we don't have the words to say it. Spirit-directed prayer, life-saturated, and it's all-encompassing. Every part of our day. So what does praying without ceasing look like for us this week? What does a life saturated in prayer look like for us? Because we can't ignore that this is what we're told to do because we're constantly under attack. It's what we're told to do just as a church in Acts. It's what we're called to do, praying without ceasing for the church and for us as individuals. So what is that going to look like for us this week? And I want to challenge us with this idea of praying about everything. I mean, before you send a text, before you call someone when you're going through something, lift it up to God in prayer. Even if you don't know the words to say, you just use that example that I gave that says, God, I am coming to you today and I am hurt and I don't even know how to describe it. And I can guarantee you without a shadow of the doubt that God knows what you're talking about. Allow yourself to go to God even when you don't know the words to say. And I want to just also end with, of course, I tried to say end it once, and now I'm really going to try and land the plane, is the last thing that we kind of see in this is that it's also focusing on others, not just ourselves. Keep on praying for all the saints. I know that I've appreciated prayers and all the people who've said that they've been praying for me over the last little while, and Sarah over the last little while, if we get ready to transition down to California, and being so excited about it. And we just appreciate the prayers because, I mean, when I start to think of logistics, anxiety starts to creep in a little bit. I mean, I've kind of put off a lot of the worry knowing that God is in control, but there's still that anxiety that likes to creep in. And I appreciate knowing that there are people on the other side of this continent praying for me. And it's such a great reinforcement and acknowledgement that I can hear that and know that, you know, that there are prayer warriors out there. But prayer warriors and Christ followers should be one and the same. And that's really what I want to get to. We pray for others, but prayer warriors and Christ followers are one and the same. We're all called to do it. And so, you know, I'm going to leave us with that. And that challenge of what does praying without ceasing look like? And praying in a way that we believe and know that God answers our prayers, and proclaim boldly, and go to God boldly with every part of our lives, and allow our prayers to be Spirit-led. We're going to continue on with this. I know I've been dwelling on prayer for the last, you know, 4 weeks, but I'm really enjoying this, and I want to take a look next week. I'm kind of toying with the different ideas of what it looks like, but I want to end with this, I want to continue next week with this, but we will end here, and so let me pray, and then we'll finish up. God, thank you that we can come to you boldly. Thank you that we can come to you even when we don't know what to say. And God, even as we listen to this, I know that there are people out there who are people out there who are hurting and suffering that are listening to this. And God, we lift them up to you knowing that you know what they need and you know that they are hurting. And God, we just bring them to your feet knowing that you are all loving, you are in control, you are a healer, you are an all-powerful God. And we pray boldly for healing, both of individuals, of our country, of those who are sick. And God, we know that you will answer prayers in your time. And whatever your will is, we just thank you because we know that your will is perfect and that you've got an amazing plan. We thank you that we can go to you boldly. And we just pray these things all in your name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me as you listen to this, and I hope you're enjoying it. I'm going to continue on with it and looking at prayer, because I think it's just something that is so important. And I will look forward to talking to you next week as we finally hit double digits of the Luke Miller Podcast, episode 10. So we've had more episodes than Star Wars, I think. So, you know, we're doing good. Not that I'm comparing. All right. Take care and have a great week.